sure you've heard the "What Child Is This?" the Christmas carol that we sing. And "What Child Is This?" The song is asking the question, who is this baby? And I want us to look at that this morning and ask this question and look and see, who is this baby? The baby that we would see in these nativity mangers. And we want to ask the question, who is this baby Jesus? And one of the answers that the Jews would give to identify a person would be their genealogy. Who the baby was would be given by the genealogy. And we see that recorded for us in the Bible in Matthew and in Luke. Matthew chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 3. It gives the genealogy of this baby Jesus. And we're not going to go and read through all of that. But one thing I want us to realize is that it was recorded for us that this baby was a descendant of David, and that this baby was from Abraham. They had kept this record many years, and Matthew says that it's here these 14 generations, and then 14 generations, and then 14 more generations. 42 generations. Matthew gives us that record that this baby was from Abraham. And that matters because as we look at this, ask this question, who is this baby? One of the answers would be this baby is fulfillment of a promise. A promise made to Abraham. And God said that He would make a great nation of Abraham, and God also said that the world would be blessed by him. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18 says, And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So all nations would be blessed through his seed, is what the promise that God gave to Abraham. And Paul said that that promise was a promise of Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul is making this point that Jesus was that promise to Abraham. That he fulfilled that promise that all nations would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. That seed was referring to Christ. Galatians 3 and 16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So Paul's making a reference back to that promise made in Genesis chapter 22 of Abraham. He says that seed was not many, but one, and it was Christ. Christ was the fulfilling of a promise. And God keeps His promises, and we have it recorded for us, and they kept that lineage, they stored this information all these years. They kept up with their birth record. And they kept up with that to prove that God was faithful. And that's one of the things that this baby is to us, is an assurance that God keeps His promises. And He does it in His own time. Though it might not come as quickly as what we think, we know that God promises to take care of us, and that we can trust in Him, and that He provides a way of escape. All of the promises of eternal life, we can rest assured that God is faithful to His promises. Notice in this occasion that it took 42 generations, a long time to wait for God to fulfill that promise. But God was faithful all those years. In the salutation to Titus, Paul assures us that we can trust in God's promises. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the beginning, before the world began, but hath in due time manifest His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." So he says, regarding eternal life, we have this hope of eternal life, which God has promised. And he said that God cannot lie. When God makes us a promise, we can know it's true. And Paul says that he cannot lie. We know we can trust his promises. So another thing, though, as we go on and look at answering this question, what child is this? Or who is this baby Jesus? We might want to look at the different names that were given to Jesus. As you go through the Bible, you'll see there's some names that Jesus gave to himself. The most common, I guess, being Son of Man. But there were many names or titles that Jesus would be given through the Bible. I have a reference book I went to look and see some of these names, and I have in that reference book, it lists a lot of names. How many names? 117 names of Jesus in this reference book that I have. We won't go through all those names if that's scaring you. We have 117 names to go through this morning. But we want to consider some of these things. Who is this child? And I think that some of those names would be good for us to spend some time studying, to look and to behold this baby Jesus, to consider, if we're Christians, to consider Christ and the different names that was given to him, the different titles. And another thing about this child is this child is the Creator. He's the Creator. John described him in John chapter 1, where he described him as the Word which became flesh. He said the Word by which all things were made. All things were made. John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Not only is he the Creator, not only did he create something, and so that he is a creator, but he is the Creator. It says, without him, nothing was made. Everything that is made was made by the Word of God, by him, by this baby. In Colossians chapter 1, it describes the Creator here, describes Jesus as being that one who created all things. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Wow, consider that for this little baby. All things, whether they be in heaven, or whether they be in earth, whether they be visible or not visible. And he goes through a list of these things, principalities and powers, dominions and thrones. All things were created by him. And all things were created for him. And he is to us the image of that invisible God. There's a lot of things here about Christ. A lot of things to study in this. That he was the firstborn of every creature. And he was before all things. And by him all things consist. They exist now because of Christ. Because of his power. And he was before all things. So that's something here at this baby. We might see a baby and think of a new life, but here Christ exists even before his birth. He was in the beginning. He was before all things. And so he, at his birth, is a unique child in these things. At his birth, he's got a very unique birth. Consider for one of the ways that he's a unique child at his birth is that the appearance of the angels. The angels making lots of appearances here at this time, at the birth of this child. The angels are making sure that people know that He is special. The angels are talking to people and they're praising God where people can hear Him. You know, I don't understand a lot about angels and where they are and where they came from and what they do and all of these things, but I love to think about this. That angels are looking and being amazed at what God is doing. I love to see that in the Bible where you can read of where the angels are watching in amazement at the power and the wonder of God. And here they bring these good tidings of great joy and they sing praises to God where the shepherds can hear them. And another way that this child is very unique is his virgin birth. And we have these two verses up here on the board in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And there's you can read all these verses above that. But we have the lineage up above there, which stopped at verse 17. And you can read through all of this account. But we just want to look and read these two verses now. Verse 22 and verse 23 in Matthew chapter 1, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So we read through this, and he's making this reference. He said, all of these things were done that it might fulfill the prophecy that a virgin shall be born with child. And that prophecy is referring back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And I'll read that for you. He says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." So we see this uniqueness in his birth, and we see again this that he's fulfilling prophecy. This child was the fulfillment of a promise, and he's the fulfillment of much prophecy of the Bible. God has been prophesying that this would come, this Messiah. And he prophesied the victory that he would have over the work of Satan. And the fall of man. But as we read this prophecy here, in the prophecy originally in Isaiah and in Matthew, where Matthew is then giving you the prophecy that's being fulfilled, in both places the word "behold" is used. Behold. That word is used about the sign that God Himself would give, that the Lord Himself would give. It says, "Behold." Behold, and we might read over this. We might read this scripture and never have noticed the word, behold. We read down through here and it's talking about that there's a prophecy, and then we see, and then there's the prophecy that a virgin shall be born with a child and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. We might not ever realize that there was a meaning in that word, behold, as we read it. We might not realize it because we might not use it. We don't use that word very often. We're not very familiar with the word behold and its usage, so we just kind of skip right over it without thinking about what it meant. Occasionally, I guess we might use that word. We might hear the expression, "Lo and behold." What does that mean? Look and be amazed. Behold. To behold is to fix your attention on something. And that's what he said here about this sign that the Lord Himself will give. Behold. Look. Fix your attention on it. Be amazed. And I think that's what we need to do, is behold this child. Look at him. Consider him. Look at the signs that are in the gospel about Jesus. And when you see all the signs recorded, all the miracles and things that were recorded in the Gospels about Jesus, clearly, He is something to behold. He's something to hold our attention, to hold our attention as Christians throughout our lives, to keep our eyes on Him, to keep studying Him and being amazed at Jesus. Behold. And now as this child, as we behold this child, and as we look at this child, there's an amazing sign of His power. There's an amazing sign of the power of God on this little child named Jesus, this little baby. His supernatural birth. His birth is even special. Supernatural. And the Bible says that this is part of being called by one of His names, as we were talking about Him having all these different names, the Son of God. Part of being the Son of God is this special birth that He has. And that's what's recorded, that's what it says in Luke chapter 1. Where the angel comes and he talks to Mary. And he tells Mary that she's going to have a child. And she said, well, how can that be? And so he goes on to explain. And he says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel says this to her. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. See, it's by the power of God. The power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. That's what this baby is. He's the Son of God. And maybe that's why we see Him referred to, maybe also the supernatural birth is the reason why we see Him referred to in the earliest prophecy of the Messiah. He was called the Seed of Woman, where He talks about the enmity that God would put between the two of them. He said, enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. It's called the seed, speaking to the woman. And maybe that was some reference also to this special birth. But we see that He's the Son of God, and that's one of His names. And John says this in 1 John chapter 5, if you want to turn over there, and we'll read four verses there. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read some about this Son of God and the importance of the fact that He is the Son of God and what that should mean to us. The importance of us believing and holding on to Jesus as the Son of God. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to start reading with verse 10. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and that this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So John says that He's the Son of God, and that God is given that record that He is the Son of God. And he says that we have to believe on that. We have to believe on the name of the Son of God to have eternal life. And John says in his gospel also that He's the Son of God. And whenever he talks about the things that are written, we were talking about all the record and the signs that Jesus did. John says in those signs that the reason why he recorded them and wrote them was that we might believe. In John chapter 20 and verse 30 it says, and many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these books. But these that are written But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. So John says He's the Son of God, and John says that Jesus is the Christ. Or as we would, is the Messiah from the Old Testament, the Promised One. And that this record of His miracles was given so that we would know that, and we would believe that He's the Christ, and that He is the Son of God. And Jesus gave the similar record, saying that we would believe the name of the only begotten Son of God. He would take that name, Son of God. It's also interesting as we think of these different things, look at what people said that He was. John the Baptist. John the Baptist said that he himself was not the Christ, but he said that Jesus was. As they were coming and asking him, was he the Christ? And you can look at some of this in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We'll look at, you can see in verse 28 where they came and asked him about Jesus and the things that he was doing. Was he asking there? And he says to them, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him." So John is saying that he is not the Christ himself, but he goes before the Christ. And if you look down as he continues there, if we look at verse 34, the things that he says about Jesus, he said, "For whom God hath sent," speaking the words of God, "for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loved the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son shall hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So we see it's the Christ. We also see John said he had the words of God. John also said that he had the Spirit of God, and not by measure, an unmeasurable amount. He had all of the Spirit of God. And he said that he was the Son. So we see this about the lady. We see this about Jesus. And we saw also, as we read in Matthew, and where he was talking about the prophecy that was fulfilled, we see this name, Emmanuel. In Isaiah 7 and 14, which is where the prophecy said was, it says that this child shall be called Emmanuel. And Matthew tells us that means God with us. God with us. This child is called God with us. Now, as we made reference before about the fall of man and back to the garden, from the fall, ever since then, when man was put out of the garden, man was separated from God. So God didn't walk with man in that way. God was not that close anymore. Now, Israel had him symbolically dwelling with them, but not to the extent that we see that God dwelt with them in the garden. And we see now that Jesus is God with us. If you want to turn, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll see how that Paul describes God with us. As we think of this term, Emmanuel, as I was looking at this, I ran across something in Matthew Henry's commentary. He described this way, and he talks about knowing of Emmanuel. He said, "By the light of nature, we see that God is above us. By the light of the law, we see that God is against us. But by the light of the gospel, we see Him as Emmanuel." God with us in our own nature, and which is more, in our own interest. So through Christ, we see God in our own nature. We see God in our own way that we can understand Him. And we see that He is in our own interest. Not just the God that is above us, with more power than us. And not just the God that is more perfect than us, with the law that we cannot keep. But that He's a God that has our interest in heart. And now let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start reading verse 17 to see what Paul says about Jesus being God with us. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who is reconciling us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So here Paul is talking about this reconciliation, making a new creature. And that new creature is brought to God through Jesus. Not imputing our sins, our transgressions, our trespasses, as he puts it here. But he's given us his righteousness. And he's given us a word, reconciliation. That we should teach others, and that we ourselves should be reconciled back to God. To be back on God's side again. Though we have trespassed against Him. Though we're fallen men and done things contrary to God, Jesus has brought us back to the perfect God. And this brings me back to Matthew, where we read in Matthew 1 and 21. He says that He would save the people from their sins. And that's what Jesus did. That's what this child came to do. He came to do many things in that He fulfilled the prophecies. He fulfilled the promise. He showed us the nature of God. But He came to be a Savior. This child, as we consider the question, what child is this? Who is this baby Jesus? We might want to consider that by looking at the things that He did. And so, this child would be the Savior. Because that's what He did. He saved man. So that's our study for us this morning. We want to consider the question, is He your Savior? He's your Savior. He must be your Lord. And we must obey Him and do the things that He teaches us. We must be obedient to Him in His gospel, in His doctrine. We must bring His good news, the good news of this Christ, into our life. And now at this time, we want to extend an invitation, as we always do, extend an invitation to come if you need to be baptized or if you need to request the prayers of the church. We will offer this invitation while we stand and sing this song.